So John chapter 6, I'll read a fairly lengthy portion of this passage. I'll read verses 25 through verse 58. Let's give our careful attention to the Word of God. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." And our reading there. That passage, it is not a passage that is actually about the Lord's Supper. However, it does have very useful applications for the Lord's Supper, because it points to the spiritual reality that is presented to us in this sacrament. So we have much to learn from it. It helps us understand the sacraments rightly. And in this passage, if we had to sum up the error that the people were making on that occasion, it would be this. They failed to see past the physical reality to the spiritual reality. They failed to see past the physical reality to the spiritual reality. Remember what had happened the day before this. Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 men. Notice the passage says 5,000 men. Some commentators think that would have been upwards of 25,000 people that our Lord fed miraculously. And so now in our passage, the people are now after Jesus, not because they see their need for him spiritually, but because they're after another meal. And this is exactly what Jesus indicates. He said, "You are seeking me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." You guys are just after another meal. And so what Jesus begins to do in this passage is he begins to point the people past the physical reality, past the physical provision of food, to the spiritual provision of himself, to the necessity of receiving his body and his blood by faith. So there's a profound lesson in this for us, because like the Jews on this occasion, I mean, are we not prone to the same thing? I mean, are we not prone to focus on the physical to the neglect of the spiritual? It's part of our nature. In other words, as you know, as we approach the Lord's table today, we are likely to focus on the bread and the wine, on the pastor and the elder working in the administration of those elements. We're prone to focus on those physical things and to neglect the spiritual reality behind them. And we have to remember that this defeats the purpose of the sacrament. The sacrament is a sign, and a sign is important, but it's there to point you to some greater spiritual reality. So as we begin today, I just want to begin by laying a foundation. Let's consider some simple definitions of the sacraments. And you'll notice your outline there. I have a few of them printed on there. And I want you to note the common theme in each of these definitions. So what is a sacrament? Note the common themes. The scholastic theologian Peter Lombard said that a sacrament was a visible form of an invisible grace. And he also said that a sacrament was a sign of the grace of God. The church father, Augustine, simply called the sacraments sacred signs. And Calvin called them signs of God's covenants. And our confession in chapter 27 says this: "There is in every sacrament a spiritual relation or sacramental union between the sign and the thing signified." A spiritual relation between the sign and the thing signified. So the sacraments are signs or visible forms of an invisible reality. There is a spiritual relation between the sign and the thing signified. Think about this relationship in a very basic sense. As you approach Interstate 10 on the other side of town, you see signs for Phoenix, Arizona. And you look at that sign and you know that that sign is pointing to some reality that's out there in the distance. You can't see Phoenix from Tucson, but you know that it's out there. You know that it's out there because there is a sign there. And if you get on Interstate 10 and you drive west, you will eventually come to the reality, city of Phoenix. So there's a relationship between the physical sign and the thing signified. The physical sign and the reality that is out there in the distance. And so in the same way, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there's a relationship between the bread and the wine, the physical elements, and a spiritual reality that we cannot see, but yet is there. So we will briefly examine this relationship this morning, because as we observe the sacrament, there are two things that are happening. There are two things that are happening in the Lord's Supper. One is physical and the other is spiritual. And it's not that the physical sign is unimportant. The Lord gave us these simple signs. It's important. But they're there to point us to something greater. So there is the sign. The sign of the bread and the wine, and it points to something greater. It points to Jesus Christ, to His saving work on our behalf, to what He has done for us spiritually. And so we must keep that before us this day. Now, in these sermons on the Lord's Supper, and what they help us to do is to understand the supper, to understand the signs, and to really make the sacraments intelligible. And that's why it's good when we observe the Lord's Supper and when we administer the sacrament of baptism, that we preach on those subjects, because it helps us to understand what is going on. And Calvin articulates this. He said, "The word must explain the sign. It should, when preached, make us understand what the visible sign means." So that's what we endeavor to do in these sermons. So let's consider the Word of God and let it help us understand the sign and what it means. So we have two things going on in the Lord's Supper. And first, I want you to notice that there are two men working in the Lord's Supper. There are two men that are working. We observe the Lord's Supper. You see with your physical eyes, you see a man, or actually two men, giving you bread and wine. But more importantly, you must see with your eyes of faith the Lord Jesus Christ at work, offering you Himself. So there are two men working, and we must look to the man Christ Jesus. We must see Jesus Christ giving His body and His blood for you. You must see Jesus giving you all the benefits of His sacrificial atoning work. In other words, you must look beyond these simple physical realities, beyond the men administering these physical elements, to the thing signified and sealed by these physical elements. If you came to that road sign for Phoenix, it would be pretty silly and useless for you to stop there and somehow treat the sign as though it was the end in and of itself. The sign is important. It's necessary. But you have to get on that highway and drive to the reality. And so it's the same thing in the Lord's Supper. We must look at the signs, but yet move past them to the spiritual reality. So there are physical signs, those physical things that Christ's ministers do during the administration of the sacraments. And then there are those spiritual realities that Christ is accomplishing among us as we observe and partake of this sacrament. So the focus that you must have today is on the man Christ Jesus and what He is doing for you spiritually. Because we are spiritually dull and weak of faith, we tend to get this backwards. Our focus naturally gravitates towards the physical. I mean, in many ways, we share that same DNA as the people in John 6. We read that and think, they didn't get it. But very often, we don't get it. We are prone to focus upon the physical. And this is, again, exactly what Jesus was addressing in John 6. The Jews were placing their focus on Moses. The man Moses, as though somehow he was the one who gave them bread from heaven to eat in the desert. And listen to what Jesus says in verses 32 through 36. He endeavors to correct this error, to get them to look beyond the man Moses to Jesus himself. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe." So they were overly focused on the man Moses. They were overly focused on the physical. "Sir, give us this bread always." It was clear that their mind was still on the physical. They were failing to see Jesus with their eyes of faith. And again, God's earthly ministers are necessary. Moses was God's chosen servant. God used him to administer the manna in the desert. But in the end, it wasn't Moses who provided that manna. Jesus said, "It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." So we have to remember that it is our Father in heaven who has given us the true bread from heaven, the bread of life. It is the Father who has given us Jesus Christ himself. And so he is the one working today. He is the one that you have to see working. He is the one who says to you with a simple piece of bread, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He is the one working. It was his sacrificial death that secured eternal life for you. And now, once you have been saved, Christ still sustains you and feeds you in your sanctification. He prepares you for heaven by giving you this bread of life, himself. And so, in light of this, I urge you to be mindful of our weakness. I urge you, as a minister of Jesus Christ, as one who stands up here and breaks this bread in his name, following his example, to look past what I am doing, to look past what Scott is doing, and to see Jesus with your eyes of faith, giving you himself and all the benefits that go along with his sacrifice. See him with your eyes of faith. When you receive the bread and the wine, look to him and receive his body broken and his blood shed. So there are two men working today. One can hand you a piece of bread and a cup of wine, but the other can give you salvation and eternal life. Jesus says to you, and he reminds you, it was not Moses, it was not an earthly minister who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. So that true bread is Jesus. And you must see him with your eyes of faith today, remembering his sacrifice, his death, You must see Him giving you all of the benefits of His sacrifice. See Him nourishing you spiritually, calling you to greater faith. You must see Him lifting up that cup of wine, pledging His obedience, pledging His covenantal commitment to you. You must see Him calling you to greater duty. So there are two men working today. And just as there are two men working, you'll notice there are two offers presented in this sacrament. There are two offers presented. But just as there are two men working, the earthly minister and Jesus Christ, there are also two different offers being presented here. There's two different offers being presented. In other words, a minister can give you a physical token, the bread, the wine, but Jesus Christ can give you Himself. That is the offer. That is the real offer being presented. The bread and the wine are offered to you as a sign and a seal of a greater offer. And that greater offer is not something physical, but it is something internal and spiritual. Now, I understand that this sacramental language of something being a sign and a seal, it can be confusing to us. It can be hard for us to understand. So I'll direct you to kind of what has become our go-to analogy when it comes to the Lord's Supper, and that is the wedding ceremony. In a wedding ceremony, there are physical tokens given. Rings. It's a physical outward offer. But yet there is a greater offer behind that ring. When two people put rings on one another's fingers in a wedding ceremony, they're saying something. They're offering something. They're not just offering a piece of metal to their spouse, but they're saying to them, I am offering to you my commitment. I am offering you myself for the rest of our lives. And it's the same thing in the Lord's Supper. There are two offers. There's a physical offer that's held out to you. But it is symbolic. It signifies a greater spiritual offer. Where the pastor and the elder distributes the bread and the wine to you and offers it to you, behind that, Jesus Christ is offering you Himself. So Scott can hand you the bread and the wine, but Jesus Christ gives you Himself. He offers you His body and His blood, His perpetual, eternal covenant love for you. As God's earthly ministers, we offer you something for your body. Christ offers you something for your soul. So you can take hold of these physical elements, but Jesus calls you to take hold of Him. And listen to His words again as He calls people to take hold of Himself. In verses 50 and 51, our Lord says, "This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Brothers and sisters, this is where the blessing is in the Lord's Supper. In taking hold of Christ by faith. He is the living bread offered to you. And again, we see the error of the Jews here on this occasion in John 6. They were so dull that they just couldn't see past that physical reality. They didn't understand that Jesus was offering Himself as the way to eternal life. And we may understand that there is indeed a physical reality or a spiritual reality behind these physical elements. We're still prone to focus on the physical offer. Again, I point you to verses 27 through 29 and verse 35. Verses 27 through 29 and then verse 35. And again, Jesus is pointing out the need to seek the spiritual reality. He says, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." And then verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." It's a call for us to embrace the offer of Christ by faith. He offers himself to us this day. And Satan loves it. He wants us to be overly focused on the physical. He wants us to feel good that we've done our duty, we've observed the sacrament, but yet our focus has remained on the physical. Satan loves that because if we neglect the spiritual reality, if we fail to see Christ working, if we fail to see Christ offering himself, then we're not going to see the gospel. We're certainly not going to see our sin and our need for Christ. A superficial view of the sacraments will go hand in hand with a superficial view of the gospel and a superficial view of our sin. So embrace Christ by faith. See him offering himself. So there are two men working. There are two offers presented to you today, but there are also two instruments used in receiving the Lord's Supper. There are two instruments used in the reception of the Lord's Supper. And like the others, one of these is physical and the other is spiritual. So you take the bread and the wine, you take it with your hand and you take it with your mouth. Those are the physical instruments. But there's a more important instrument than your mouth. And that is the instrument of your faith. The instrument of your faith. You probably noticed how many times the word believe appears in that passage in John 6. It's used 9 times just in the section that we read. And the Greek word just basically means to have faith in. Jesus is saying, "Have faith in me. Receive me by faith." Look at verses 28 and following. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in whom he has sent. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And then verse 47, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." Jesus is pointing out the necessity of receiving him by faith. So if you receive the bread and the wine only with the instrument of your mouth, you will get nothing from the sacrament today. You should expect nothing from it. It is the instrument of our faith that makes this sacrament an effectual means of grace. And remember, friends, this is our weakness. Yeah, understand this, please. There are duties that we are called to do. We're called to attend public worship on the Lord's Day. We're called to observe the sacraments. These are good and right things. These are necessary things. But if we approach them without faith, without looking to Jesus Christ, we will get nothing out of them. And you know, perhaps it's a reminder to us, you know, in the church today, there are more and more Christians that you hear say, well, I'm just not getting anything out of church. I talk to many different pastors who say they have people in their congregations coming to them and say, I'm just not getting anything out of your sermons. I'm not getting anything out of worship. And first and foremost, those comments reveal a selfish orientation in worship. We're not here to get something for ourselves. We're here to worship God. But more so, I think it shows that we fail to approach worship and the sacraments by faith. That we come to them with a physical, earthly orientation and expect to be moved in our emotions without faith. And we're reminded that the faith is the necessary instrument for these things being useful and effectual. So we must receive the supper today with the instrument of our faith in Christ Jesus. Well, finally, there are two outcomes of observing the Lord's Supper. You know, there are two people working in the Lord's Supper. There's God's earthly minister who offers you the physical elements. And then there's Christ who offers you himself. In the same way, there are two offers presented. There's the physical offer of bread and wine and the spiritual offer of Jesus Christ and all the benefits of his saving work. And then those two offers are then received with two instruments, the physical instrument of your mouth and the spiritual instrument of your faith. And finally, this leads us then to the two outcomes. Depending on who you see working, depending on what offer you receive, and depending on what instrument you use, will determine the outcome from receiving this sacrament. Because if you fail to see past the physical elements to the spiritual reality, you'll get nothing but a piece of sourdough bread and a cup of cheap wine. That's it. That's all you can expect today if you come with a physical orientation. Calvin wrote regarding the sacraments, he says, Christ is the matter or the substance of all the sacraments, for in him they have all their firmness, and they do not promise anything apart from him. The sacraments don't promise anything apart from Jesus Christ. So we must come with our faith today, embracing and seeing the spiritual reality behind these elements. Please notice verses 47 through 51. And I want to notice that, I want you to notice the two outcomes that Jesus compares and contrasts. He's saying you can receive physical food or you can receive spiritual food. And note the two outcomes. Verse 47. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus points us to himself. Two outcomes. The desired outcome will only be realized through faith in Christ Jesus. So you must see Jesus working today, offering His body and His blood for you. You must see Him offering Himself to you to nourish you and sustain you. You must use the instrument of your faith to receive Christ in the supper. And only this will result in the blessing that is promised. There's one final thing as we close that I want to call you to embrace by faith in the Lord's Supper. Notice verse 54. Verse 54, there's a running theme through verse 54 in the previous verses. Jesus is talking about the last day. And in verse 54 we read, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Raise him up on the last day. And so what I want you to see is that there is an eschatological anticipation in the Lord's Supper. And if you're not familiar with that word, eschatology is simply a branch of theology that deals with the end, that deals with the last things, the final events in God's redemptive plan. And for you, it deals with your destiny as God's people. That word eschatology comes from this word that Jesus uses here. Eschatos, last. And so there's a significance here that you, by faith, are to anticipate something out there in the future. And just as the supper points us back to the historical reality of Christ's sacrificial work, and just as it points us to a present, ongoing relationship with Him, it also points us to a future reality. It points us and it tells us to look forward to the fulfillment of Christ's kingdom. When Christ instituted the Lord's Supper in the upper room, He very clearly linked this sacrament with the eschatological perspective of His kingdom. Remember what He said. He told His disciples that He would not eat the Passover again with them until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then after he took the cup, He gave thanks and He said this, "I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And likewise, Paul gives the Lord's Supper the same future orientation when he says, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." So the Lord's Supper is given to you to strengthen you in this fallen world. It's designed to kindle a future hope within you, to cause you to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ, when He will come in great glory and great power, when He will once and for all perfect us. The supper reminds you that we will one day sit down with Christ in the kingdom of heaven at the wedding supper of the Lamb and drink anew with Christ the fruit of the vine in His Father's kingdom. That's the future reality that is put out there for you. And the Lord's Supper is designed to point you to that by faith. So receive Christ by faith today, looking to the future. But until then, you must, by faith, see the two men working, the two offers presented, and the two instruments used. So receive Christ by faith today. Hear the words of Jesus to you. He says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Let's pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 record these words of institution of the Lord's Supper. But it's worth pointing out that immediately before we read these words of institution, Paul is talking about problems in the Corinthian church. Problems related to the observance of the Lord's Supper. And if you had to distill them down to their most basic part, we could say that it was indeed a problem of failing to look past the physical reality to the spiritual reality. We have every indication that these people were coming to the table and just treating it like it was some normal meal. You know, some people were just eating everything. Other people were going home. They're treating it like it was some buffet line. So again, we see here this tendency for us to fail to see beyond the physical to the spiritual. And we see the negative impacts that it has on the supper when we fail to have a spiritual orientation to it. So let's read the words of institution, verses 23 through 26. So let's give our careful attention to God's word. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So there very clearly we have these words of institution which gives us a spiritual orientation. That we are to look past these physical signs and see the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual reality of his work. And then at the end again we see this eschatological or this end orientation when Paul says, "As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." But friends, this is indeed a blessed privilege for us. And it grieves my heart that there is so much confusion over the sacraments in this church today. I mean, this is something that should unite us. The sacraments are given to unite God's people, to strengthen us in our bond with Christ and in our bond with one another. And so remember that this day. And this was instituted by the Lord himself. It's a great gift to us. He condescends to our weakness and gives us physical things that we can look at, that we could smell and taste and touch, to point us towards a greater spiritual reality. I'll draw your attention to the words of warning in verses 27 through 32. "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, and then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world." So again, in these words of warning, we're cautioned and urged to rightly discern the body of the Lord. And here again, we have this call to have the right orientation today. Not just physical, but spiritual. That is how we discern the body and blood of the Lord. There's also the very important command to examine ourselves, to take a close look at our hearts for unrepentant sin, for sins that we are tolerating, for divisions and factions that we might have with other people, grudges that we might be holding. Now is the time to examine ourselves, to come before the Lord and to repent and to embrace Christ. So these are indeed words of warning. It's a sobering, it's a serious sacrament that we partake in. It's not to be taken lightly. But yet, these words of warning are not designed to keep us away from the table. Remember, what the Lord desires is not perfection, but humility. Contrition of heart. So if you're prepared to come in this way, again, hear the gracious words of our Lord as He invites you to come to Him by faith. Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. He is the bread who has come down from heaven, the bread of life, and He offers Himself to you graciously this day. Now the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, He took the bread and also the cup, and He gave them to His disciples. And so, ministering in His name and following His example, I display these simple elements to you, these physical elements, as the sacramental symbols of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been broken and shed for you. So after the Lord took the bread and the cup, He blessed them. And so let us now do the same and pray to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven. We thank You, Lord, that He has given us His flesh as real food and His blood as real drink. We thank You that He is the one who sustains us in this life. So, Lord, we thank You for this great privilege. We know that today we bring nothing to You. We have nothing to offer You. And so we rest on the one offer that matters. The offer of Jesus Christ, His body broken, His blood shed. So we pray now, Lord, that You would make this sacrament an effectual means of grace for the strengthening of Your people. Lord, these simple physical elements of bread and wine, we pray that You would now set them apart from a common to a sacramental use. We pray this in the name and by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church. After the Lord Jesus had blessed the bread, He took the bread and He broke it. And so again, following His example and ministering in His name, I break this bread. And I say to you, as He said to you, take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. You've seen the two men working. You've seen Christ's earthly ministers distribute the bread to you. You look upon these physical elements. And now we must look past the signs to the reality. So there are two men working. Do you see Jesus Christ offering Himself to you? And now there are two offers. Scott held out the bread to you. Now I hold the bread out to you. It's It's a physical offer for your mouth. But it is Jesus who says to you, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. In the same manner, after the supper, our Lord also took the cup. And remember, this would have been the cup in the Passover feast. It would have been the cup of redemption. And when the father of the household lifted up that cup of redemption, it was time for him to give a recounting of the events of the Exodus, of God's mighty acts of redemption, of how he saved them from the bondage of Pharaoh and the bondage of Egypt, and he brought them out into a promised land. So Christ now seizes upon that opportunity and gives new meaning to that cup of redemption. And he says that this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And in a very beautiful way, in a very simple way, that very complicated sacrament of the Passover feast was done away with, and the Lord instituted something very simple. A very simple cup that he says, "This is the new covenant." And so, again, remember what is being offered to you this day. His body broken, his blood shed. Again, there's an offer set before you this day. Jesus said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." Very strong language. It is Jesus who is lifting the cup with us today. He's pledging once again to us his commitment, his love to us as his covenant people. He's reminding us of all of the benefits that we have because of his body broken and his blood shed. So this is what you must look to today. It is our Lord who raises the cup with us and says, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." And remember the eschatological significance, where Paul says, "As often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim his death until he comes." So let's do that now.